Hey everyone, it's Nicole Fernandez. I'm just letting you know that I'm making custom tarot and rune cards for those who are open to those spiritual experiences and also who want a personal deck made just for you. If you're interested in this, please message me on my Instagram page. It's called Blood Rituals Pod. Very, very easy. Blood Rituals Pod. So, if you're interested, let me know, and I can go ahead and get that started for you. Thanks, guys. Hey everyone, welcome to Blood Rituals. It's your host, Nicole Fernandez. I hope you're all doing well out there. Thanks for all your support on my last mental health episode. That was amazing. Thank you for being so supportive and asking questions. And not only that, just sending out my link so that other people can see as well. It really meant a lot to me. But today, instead of doing a part two for bipolar, I thought that I would do a little episode on the Wheel of the Year because Litha is coming up and the celebration lasts from June 19th until the 23rd. So I thought, why not make an episode about it and try to release it either on or before Litha so that people know fun activities to do while they're actually celebrating. So here goes nothing. All right, first things first, we need to get into what the Wheel of the Year actually is and what happens whenever you actually follow it and whenever you have all the festivities explained to you. Because a lot of people think that the Wheel of the Year, the eight celebrations that take place, that it's sort of demonic or like it's dark magic. But to be honest, these are traditions that are meant to celebrate. Honestly, they're meant to celebrate certain things in people's lives. And the Wheel of the Year, it's an annual cycle of seasonal festivities that are observed by pagans that consist of the year's chief solar events, technically, all the solstices and the equinox and the midpoints between those two. And talking about the lunar cycles, we might get a little bit more into that. The lunar cycles are what pagans look towards as well. Not all pagans, obviously, but whenever you look at the Wheel of the Year, it's very important to at least acknowledge these events, even if you don't necessarily follow the moon or do all these different moon rituals. So, as I've said, the season that's coming up is called Litha, but we're going to go through each and individual one just in case, because I don't think a lot of people know what the Wheel of the Year is. And I don't think a lot of people understand the traditions if they don't at least have some sort of background. So, excuse me. Okay. So, I'm looking at history.com because I really like their description of it and I think that it helps. So, this is what they're saying about the Wheel of the Year. Aside from the associations with Stonehenge and New Age movements, most people would probably confess to know little about pagans or even who they are. Modern paganism may refer to several different groups such as Wiccans, heathens, and Celtic Neopaths. So, what are the most important days in the pagan calendar? Starting in December, eight annual festivals placed roughly between 6 to 7 weeks apart are celebrated by pagans. This cycle is known as the Wheel of the Year. So semantics, that relates to essentially like logic, meaning, structure, formal, like things that refer to sense being made and there being some sort of like logical form or like some sort of answer behind any sort of thing. So whenever it comes to the semantics that are complex or the complex semantics that are surrounding this entire topic, it means that you can't necessarily study paganism and know everything about paganism. There are so many different variations, and there are different variations between the ways people will like celebrate these holidays. And not only that, there are so many different like books that you could read. There are so many different viewpoints, because paganism is not only like somewhat communal, but it's very, very, very personal, so it can get very different. However, the Wheel of the Year is something that a lot of pagans observe, so it's kind of interesting, and it's really good to know about just in case, because a lot of people do believe that the Wheel of the Year helps them like create some sense, gives them a purpose to celebrate. And also during these rituals, they're not doing them for no reason. There's a purpose for every single ritual, so that their life is enriched in some sort of way. So, with that being said, we'll start with Yule. Yule lasts from the 20th to the 23rd of December. That's the first of the 8 sections of the whole entire wheel. And it's one of the 4 lesser Sabbats. It's just like a small festival. And it's celebrated because it's the shortest day of the year. And for many pagans, Yule is a key part of the life cycle of, like, the Child of Promise, conceived in Astara, which is another season in this wheel. It essentially says that the Child of Promise is concealed in Astara, which is between, like, the 19th and 22nd of March, and born in the winter solstice as the sun god. So, there's a lot of different things that go with this story, so try to keep up a little bit. But what I'm understanding is that Yule is a part of this whole entire cycle of the Child of Promise, Astara, who is born in the winter solstice as the sun child, who will defeat the powers of darkness in the coming spring, ushering in nature's triumphant return. So if it makes any sense, this is how it's making sense to me. It's almost like a fool's journey in the major arcana with tarot. You start from the beginning, and as you work your way around, like, the more knowledge you get, and the more you can, like, take control of your situation. That's at least how I see it. Or the lunar phases, actually. When there's a new moon, it's nothing, but it's brand new. And then as this moon is slowly progressively getting lighter, sort of like if you were to compare Astara to the full moon, or like even the half moon, something that is like representing the transition from the winter solstice to the sun child. That is really powerful. I really, really like that. There are so many different analogies that can be made with this. One important site at Yule is Newgrange, Ireland's grand megalithic monument and ancient resting place of kings. Here at the solstice, the sun child's birth is represented by the rising sun flooding the inner chamber of the monument with light. Celtic people have celebrated the winter solstice in the British Isles since before the arrival of Christianity, though many Yule traditions flowed into Christmas, and there are obviously parallels between the two traditions, such as the exchanging of gifts. So, that's just a short little, I have a couple short snippets about every single one, but I just wanted to touch on Yule most importantly and expand on it most of all, because it's the beginning. That's where everything starts, and it has a connection with other places in the wheel that represent growth in a person or even in a society. So that's what's really interesting. So Yule, it takes place between December 20th and December 23rd. I'm not going to get into all the major customs of this part of the wheel right this second. I want to focus on Litha the most. But here's a little bit more back knowledge on everything. So Imbolc. Imbolc is the second season, and this is the very first day of February. It celebrates the coming of spring, and it's one of the 4 cross-quarter days, or fire festivals, and one of the wheel's 4 greater Sabbats. So that means it's one of the bigger celebrations that happens, and during these celebrations, you can do a few things. But before we can even celebrate anything, we just need to remember what each season stands for. And I'm using this website called The Outdoor Apothecary, and the article is called The Magical Wheel of the Year, 8 Sabbats for Seasonal Living. And what she states about Yule is that Yule is, it's technically marking the winter solstice when the winter has already taken a complete and total possession of our nature. And it's celebrated between family and being indoors. And most importantly, like one of the most important traditions is the burning of the Yule log. That's why that exists. Eating roasts, feasting. And not only that, the Sabbat celebrates the birth of the sun. Winter threatens to take over, but is met by warmth growing stronger each day until spring is reigns supreme again. And that's exactly why Yule is connected to Astara, which is in March. And March is like the spring equinox. It's almost like the birth of the sun is taking place. And then the spring equinox is like the celebration of that sun being in place. In bulk, like this entire celebration is just preparing for spring. So candles and bonfires, they're lit symbolically to strengthen the sun and help spring approach quicker. And these sorts of things, they represent like thawing taking place and the sun beginning to gain a little more presence in our nature. And according to this article, this for our ancestors was very crucial because it was the critical moment in which you either had enough food to survive the remainder of the winter or you didn't. Therefore, the regrowth and abundance in Mother Earth was cause for celebration by groups trying to survive terrible winters. Even though we have grocery stores now and we have DoorDash and we have everything else, there are still people that fight this sort of fight every single day where they don't know if they're going to have enough abundance to take care of themselves or to at least survive the night. That's what's very, very important because even though it's at the very beginning of February, usually snowing at that time. So celebrating this sort of thing in bulk during January 31st to February 1st, it kind of just, it helps you prepare for the sun, essentially, so that you're not stuck in these deep, deserted spirits and feeling like there's nothing you can do about it. Because if you follow the wheel of the year, it's a cycle that continues over and over again. That's why it's called a wheel. So Astara, we talked about that a little bit. It's the spring equinox when the sun has been seen directly above the Earth's equator and light and dark are completely equal. For those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, our daylight hours will continue to lengthen until the summer solstice. We will have longer, sunnier days where we can do more gardening and spend more time outdoors. The entry of spring into nature and the fertility of the earth are celebrated on this spoke of the wheel of the year. This spring Sabbath marks the first outdoor activities beginning to be celebrated, taking advantage of good weather and fruits that can be collected in these early moments of spring. It's a celebration about there being warmth again, about the sun coming back, about harvest being better. And that's why fruits and all of those things are really, really, really great things to have around whenever you're celebrating this. It says at the beginning of the article written by Barbie that whenever you like feel more grounded and supported, the wheel of the year offers a sacred, offers a sacred calendar essentially to you and rituals that align with nature over and over again. And whenever you have these Sabbats, you don't need that many materials because it's so personal. Most people get flowers or flower pots, or they plant seeds, or they take care of plants. They do something that represents harvesting in that sort of sense and like taking care and nurturing another being. And you can decorate your home with these things as well to remind you of life that you're responsible for, to remind you of life that's around you. And also so that you can celebrate the fact that this life exists it wouldn't have existed without the sun, the moon, the earth, the stars. It wouldn't exist without the dirt and the soil that it was lying in. It wouldn't exist without the decay that gave it some growth. Everything in this cycle comes together. And that's why decorating your home simply in plants can get you more in tune with the wheel of the year and get you more in tune, especially with Litha. As we could tell too from Ostera, like Ostera is very, very big whenever it comes to remembering that you're not only fertile, you're not only like ready to explore the world, you're no longer new. You're on this path where you have enough knowledge gained and you can actually move forward and be the best version of yourself that you can possibly be, as the sun allows you much more strength. A couple of other things I wanted to point out about these Sabbaths is you can use fresh herbs too. That will help accompany this. If you have some rosemary, sage, lavender, or if you want to make candles, or if you just have candles, incense, or simmer pots, either one of those, that would be amazing. It is a pot that you put a bunch of different herbs and spices and oils and everything like that, and you simmer it on the stove so that the entire house smells like that. And it really, really does help, especially if your house smells bad. It's a life hack. Just putting a bunch of lavender and water into like a pot of boiling water and just having it simmer throughout your house with a little bit of cinnamon, it's perfect. Yeah, those are some really great ways to introduce these fresh new floral incense into your home without it being too expensive and without you necessarily like feeling like it's too strong. Like, these things are supposed to be natural. And also burning sage and Palo Santo, those scents are very, very strong, but they're super recommended whenever you're trying to cleanse your house of energy or any sort of bad energy, because whenever you leave the house, you're automatically like taking on energy regardless of how you want to feel about the situation. It really, really helps, because cleansing the house, cleansing everything around you, while you breathe in those smoke, you're also cleansing yourself. Which I know is a horrible thing to say, and you shouldn't be sniffing on Palo Alto or sage and like shoving up your nose, or lavender. Just, you know, the fumes that are naturally around you, if you consistently like repeat that mantra to yourself, like, this is my home and I'm going to protect it. This is my home and I'm going to protect it. And have nothing else on your mind. Some sort of mantra that surrounds that sort of thing, where you're being protected and that this is your space. Nobody else's. Like, no other spirits can reside here unless you give them permission, type of thing. And as I said, as you're breathing in like some of the smoke, it'll start to cleanse your soul as well, as long as you visualize that at the same time. Because even with candles, if you don't like think about the fact that if you smell the candle, or smelling flowers before you just lay them down, like, you're not engaging all of your senses into this experiment, which is taking care of yourself and beginning a new cycle. What you can also do, this is really, really cute. One of my best friends does this. You can create a seasonal decorations out of the natural materials that are around your house, like leaves and pine cones, or like decorating the pine cones, like creating little rock sculptures, like doing things that are like making art out of the things that surround your house, and making like poking little tiny holes in the leaves and threading a string through it and like hanging it around somewhere, like doing these cute little things. It brings you way more in tune with nature, because you're playing with nature, you're doing something fun, and it's really, really, really interesting. And what you can also do is you can make little wreaths out of them. You can make little wreaths out of these pine cones, or these leaves, or these flowers. You can make little lays. You can also like like I mentioned earlier, plant some seeds. Try to find some plants at the grocery store that you want to take care of and start learning how to, like, take care of those and, like, do the little things. And whenever you decorate, like, potpourri, for example, potpourri has a bunch of natural stuff in it, and it has a beautiful smell that may or may not be natural, but you can make your own potpourri. You can have a bowl of a bunch of different items from around either the forest or around trees, or depending on where you live, if you're able to do this. Where I live, there are tons of pine cones just everywhere, and a bunch of random flower bushes and stuff like that. So yeah, just get creative. And if you have to use fake plants, that's fine too. If you physically do not have the capability to go get these fresh things, that is okay. But I would definitely recommend at least getting fresh flowers during the big events, like the four major Sabbats, so that you can be fully present and be fully in tune with the ritual, because that way you'll have that natural energy there, if that makes sense. And the last few things, you can cook seasonally grown local foods and invite people over to share with them. Sharing meals during these Sabbats is really, really great. This is a great way to connect with your friends and to also connect with those who have similar beliefs with you. And you can have a little feast, or you can have just a little wine night. You can have a little dessert night. Some people have, like, wine and cheese, just hors d'oeuvres, stuff like that. And seasonally cooking food. So, like, for example, if strawberries are in season, why not make strawberry jam? Or you can make little strawberry cakes or stuff like that. It's just really fun because it keeps you in tune with everything. I do have a book, not on me, but I'm going to use it during the next episode whenever I kind of go through the wheel a little bit more, that explains different plants, different herbs, different things that you can use to enhance your cooking in terms of how they support you in a spiritual sense. So yeah, and last but not least, host a evening bonfire. These Sabbats are built around this fun celebration. It's supposed to be fun. You're supposed to be making art, hanging out with your friends, eating food, because the bonfire has been around ever since this religion has came into place. Because dancing around the bonfire, letting yourself free, like, and letting go of worries, it's the perfect environment to get out of your headspace, to intentionally put yourself into an altered state of mind around people that you love and that you trust. And not only that, it's the perfect place to cast spells, especially if you're trying to, you know, especially if you're trying to create a spell that requires a lot of energy and might require a lot of help from other people that have more experience than you and stuff like that. Anyway, let's go back to the Sabbats of the year. That small piece is that the eight Sabbats, they celebrate the cycle of the seasons and their connection to nature. By celebrating these cycles of the earth, solstices and the equinoxes, this can awaken deep memories in us to help us regain our commitment and our love and respect to the earth. And by seeking our own spiritual path and finding inner stillness, we learn to connect with the land and ourselves again, because we are so disconnected from earth 24/7. I just barely became vegan, and I realize now that we are very, very, very much not in touch with the other species in the world, or the animals, or the plants, or anything else. It's almost like we use these things for our own benefit, and that's not necessarily the right thing that we should be doing. That's something that we should be trying to stay away from. At least that's what I think. Beltane, which it lasts from April 30th to May 1st, and each year, I'm going to read it word for word from the article because it is beautiful. So each year, we are blessed with a time of the peak of fertility, Beltane. It is the celebration of spring and summer, the time when Earth gives birth to new life. This period has been celebrated in many Earth-based cultures since ancient times. This time is recognized as halfway between the spring equinox and the summer equinox. Fire rituals were performed to protect the cattle, crops, and people, and to encourage growth. Festivals and celebrations to mark this time of great fertility for Mother Earth. So no matter which culture was celebrating this period, they all had one thing in common. They saw this as fertile time, as an incredible, joyful, festive time, and it was a time for coming together to celebrate life. So, all in all, whenever it comes to Beltane, it's mostly about recognizing that Mother Earth is present and basking in the fertility of everything that is going on around us. Like, with Beltane taking place at the beginning of May, at the end of April, that's when the sun's starting to shine more. That's when we're starting to get some more hope. Spring is already upon us. We're already ready to experience new life, essentially. Like, new life surrounding us in the form of plants, animals, the wind being changed, the sun, the moon, everything. Even though the moon doesn't really change too much. But we still have high hopes about what our lives could be like whenever we're following this cycle and we get to this point. Because each step of the way, we start from rebirth to finding out how to appreciate the earth in general. And then now we're like celebrating the fact that Mother Earth exists together. And we don't have to do this with anybody else. We could do this privately. But Beltane is a very amazing festival, and it's an amazing Sabbat, which we'll get way more into. However, like I said, the focus of this episode, I really, really want to talk about Litha, because Litha is upon us, people. It is literally in just a few days. Some people say it starts June 19th. Other people say it starts June 20th. Either way, we're very, very close, and Litha is a great festival. So, reading from the same website, it says, the summer solstice is the day of the year when the sun appears at its highest point in the sky and has the longest period of daylight. It is also known as Litha, estival solstice, or midsummer. This Sabbat is a time of celebration and rituals that have been observed since history. On the wheel of the year, it marks the time when seeds have been sown and grow abundantly until Lagnasad, which is on August 1st. I'm not sure if I said that right, but that's the next cycle. And from Litha, days gradually become shorter until Yule, when they begin to grow steady and longer again. So not only are we getting the most sun possible on that day, we are also being reminded that we are getting all this sun because it's going to start slowly going away, and we need to appreciate it for what we have. And not only that, whenever you go back to the History Channel website, it's really, really interesting. It says that Midsummer is one of the four lesser Sabbats. However, it's one of the most celebrated Sabbats there are. That's almost like whenever I said Yule is a lesser Sabbat. People celebrate it regardless. It's still a really big celebration. But the whole point, it says that on this website that the god has reached the zenith of his power, the summer solstice being the longest day of the year, and the dawn of the 21st of June, or thereabouts, meaning like June 19th, June 20th, whichever. This is his crowning glory. This is like taking on some sort of Christian perspective, which I don't understand completely, but it can kind of be applied to this. So I guess I should let you guys know what people are saying. So this taking on the power of God as the Sun King, and at the end of his youthful days running in the greenwood, represents the strength and the power of the sun over the summer months. Though pagans also remember that the god's path is downhill now, which means the shortening of days until Yule. For modern druids and many other groups, Stonehenge is the focal point of the summer solstice celebration, and the entire Stonehenge site is laid out in relation to the winter and summer solstices. At dawn on the longest day at Stonehenge, the two stones which are located outside of the main circle, called the Heal Stone and the Slaughter Stone, channel the sun in alignment, and the first rays hit the center of the circle. So that's just one way that this thing is celebrated. However, I found a lot of different ways that Lithia is celebrated. So I'm going to share some of those with you, because if you're like me, you practice either privately or just you kind of like, you don't really have a huge following of people. But if you do have a huge following of people, a huge coven, I support you, and I think that you guys already got this under control. But this is what I understand about Litha, and how I can, and how other people can practice this privately and kind of like use it to their advantage. So with Litha, the deities that you want to focus on are Apollo, Juno, Sulis, Minerva, Senna, Hestia, and Ain. And I've also seen the Norse god Freya, which is one god that I connect to a lot. So technically you can pray to whichever deity you want to, or speak with whichever deity you want to, but those few deities are in connection with the sun, so it makes sense to at least have them in mind. Some of the symbols that are associated with Lithia is sun, fire, and dis. Herbs that actually help a lot: lavender, mugwort, vervain, yarrow, rose, chamomile, and St. John's wort. St. John's wort is very, very powerful because it kind of, I don't remember exactly how it helps, but I remember that St. John's wort, in conjunction with all of these other, elements that you're bringing into your altar whenever you're starting to, like, appreciate this deity, or whenever you're just trying to set up your house, St. John's wort is very strong, and it promotes change in some sort of way that's very, very significant. Trees that are really, really good, like if you can get bark, or if you can get just a little piece from the forest, oak trees or elder trees are the best. Gemstones, emerald, and sunstone, those are going to be your best ones because they're connected with the sun as well. Incense, lemon, myrrh, pine, rose, sandalwood. But all of us that practice witchcraft, we all know that it is totally up to you. These are just suggestions to follow along with with the theme of Lithia, with the theme of sunlight, apparently, if that makes sense. That's what all of these are surrounding, is the theme of Litha and the rebirth of the brightest sun we had for like the last year or so. So different colors that are associated with Litha that you can decorate or dress in or paint or anything else that you want to do it with: yellow, orange, red, and green, because those are all natural colors, and they also represent, again, the sun, heat, and life. So, witchy activities for the summer solstice. These are amazing. Number one, ritual bath with a bath bomb. I tell you, it is so freaking relaxing. If you put candles in there, you put all your stones right along the bathtub, you have, like, all your cute little witchy stuff. You can even set up a little incense holder in there. Whenever you have a ritual bath going on, it is so peaceful because all you're focusing on is how you're floating and you're trying to let go of your thoughts. And being in a bath, that's the perfect place to do spells as well because it's very solitary. You're using water, you're doused in it, and you can use that to your advantage. Iced tea potion. It says, for example, orange and lavender. I think what they're trying to say is you can make your own potions, aka like iced teas or drinks, based on different herbs that mix together well, that can create a concoction that both signify like sunny, happy dispositions, or like things that promote like some sort of elation instead of depression, that sort of thing. lighting candles, warm colors are really, really helpful because during this like period of celebration, if you have like orange and red candles, it just like ties together the theme of sun and rays and stuff like that. Even yellow and white candles help too. Learn about water witchcraft. Water witchcraft is something that I want to get into on this show, but that's what I was kind of talking about with the bath bomb and kind of using it for your own advantage. You don't need to learn a lot. You can start small. You can go online, look up some water witchcraft rituals to do in the bathtub, and there are tons, like very, very simple ones, ones that'll like promote like wealth, if that's what you're looking for, promote health, promote some sort of happiness in your life to just rid you of some sort of problem in your life, something like that. It's very, very useful. And it says for sea witchcraft, create a crystal grid with sand. If you can do that outside, even with dirt, that would be really, really great because the symbology, even runes, are very, very powerful. They cast some sort of power that we can't do with just our voice. It's there. So if you want to create some sort of symbol in the sand, or if you want to write it somewhere where it's not too noticeable and it's like still on your residence, if it's legal, that's also helpful too. Or having a sticker or anything like that, or even a picture, just hanging it up. Make seashell candles. This is actually a really fun activity because you're infusing all the different elements together, because candles incorporate fire, air, which is that's what surrounds us. That is what like ignites the flame essentially. There are other reasons why and because of smoke. That's why the smoke that comes off of the candle is also associated with air. Earth and water. If you're incorporating a seashell, that is both earth and water because that originated from the earth and it was in water for so long. So it's really, really, really fun. They say that you can use tide magic for this. Maybe we can get into that on another episode if you want to. But here are some other rituals as well. These are really easy, as you can tell. It's not that hard to just set up some time to yourself or with your friend that believes in the same thing and just do some peaceful things. So write yourself something new in your book of shadows. If you don't have a book of shadows, it's essentially just a notebook where you journal down all your feelings and how you are progressing through your magical processes. And if you don't want a book of shadows, just use a journal and write something new in it. It'll still help. Decorate your altar or your home with sun symbols. If you decorate your home with sun symbols, you're going to be reminded that this is a bright new chapter in this year. The next few cycles are going to be sunny. We're going to have Litha, and then the one after that, both are in like the sunniest months that we have around us. So that's really important. Making sun water, just like making moon water. If you just put water outside, you can put it in a bottle. You can put it somewhere that like something that's sterile, obviously. And you just leave it outside for 24 hours. Even longer is better. The water gets so strong, and you can use that sun water or moon water for spells to help enhance your chances of actually like being successful. And it also can be used in a lot of protection spells, a lot of different ways to like create self-confidence. It's really, really helpful. Another way to celebrate is to have a little picnic. Have a picnic with your friends. Dress up. Wear little flower crowns. Make your own flower crowns. Make your own crafts out of plants. Even if you have to go to the store and buy some, you don't necessarily need to, but another fun idea is going on a little treasure hunt, looking for flowers all around the city where you're not stealing them from people's front yards, where you're getting them naturally, to build your own flower crowns, to build your own little bouquets, to build your own little like wreaths. It's very, very fun. Getting into nature and like getting out there during this time, a lot of things are alive right now and you can use that to your advantage. And of course, it's kind of sad because, you know, taking these flowers out, they would die, but you can also take care of them. That's another thing. You can use some moon water, some sun water, some food for the flowers to keep them alive, to try your best to like use it as a motivational skill and a tangible item that you can manifest your energy into. That the longer you are giving energy to this wish, the more energy these flowers are going to get. Something like that. It's really, really fun. And whenever you have picnics or little flower picking adventures with your friends, you guys just, you go on a mission and it's so fun. Going hiking is also super fun. Going to a river, going to the lake, even going into the desert and looking at plants there. There are plenty of plants in the desert. Sagebrush is a beautiful plant. It may be something that a lot of people in the, you know, West are super annoyed by, but they're still flowers and they still exist. And there are a lot of things that you can do. Some other things you can do is recharging yourself with the sunlight. So just like you would during a new moon, a full moon, during whenever the moon is at its halfway point, it's really, really good to make moon water, but it's also very, very important to meditate because during that time you can connect with nature, you can hear all the sounds at night, you can hear all the bugs, you can focus in and be more in tune with nature. And recharging yourself with sunlight after being indoors for so long, like most people are during the winter time, it helps recharge you not only medically, because we need vitamin D and we need the vitamins from the sun in order to be healthy human beings, but it also helps us feel recharged, period, because the sun is at its strongest. And even though it's starting to wean and it's starting not to be as bright, we are still able to capture that essence because the sun is still there. And that's what's important. That's what's more important. So the last few things I wanted to mention are creating a good luck charm. You can soak one of your favorite crystals, wrap it up, put it around a necklace, put it in some moon water, some sun water, bathe it just like you would any other crystal, and perform a spell. The easiest spell that you can perform, you can find online, but usually you just set your intention on the item, you hold it for a very long time, and you light a candle and bring around crystals, different parts of different elements, essentially, so that you have all four elements around you, including the spirit who you're calling upon for help, and focusing all your energy on making sure that this charm produces some sort of, you know, protection and or good luck or prosperity or anything or happiness, and allowing that intention to either soak overnight or to be worn by you overnight. Either one, those two I found are very, very helpful. They're simple. They're really personal to me. However, there are many different spells that you can find online that are perfect, and there are a lot of books as well. If you need any recommendations, I'm definitely here for that. But yeah, whenever you think about Litha, some people think about fairies. So here are some fae things that you can do to make sure that the fae do not get pissed off at you, because this is their time. Research about the fae and how to work with them. What I researched about the fae is that you are not allowed to take anything from their world. They don't give gifts. They leave stuff around by accident. That's essentially what it seems like. And not only that, fae are very powerful creatures, so they're very alluring. but they are also very dangerous. So you need to treat them with respect. And a lot of people respect Fae by leaving them offerings, leaving them little notes, treating them with caution and respect, giving them little places to sleep, like a little tiny bed, like doing little things just to make sure that they are seen, leaving out, oh my God, they love this, leaving out little offerings of like coins and honey. They love that. But yeah, and I have the very, very last one, making a fairy garden, which means creating a garden that is for the fairies and making sure the fairies know that. Making little signs, doing little things just to make sure that they feel welcome. It seems silly, but if you think about it, everybody has lawn decorations, and why can't yours be a welcoming environment to the fairies? Why not? Like, literally, why not? And that is a huge lith, that's a huge lith activity, because Fae are very, very tied to this time of the year. They love to play around. So here are just a couple more activities that you could engage in during Litha, and I'll go ahead and end this podcast because I'm sure you guys have tons of information. But leave honey cake offerings, like I said, not just for the Fae, but for the goddess and god that are offering sunlight, that are offering all these different gifts to us. Go on a long nature walk. Get engaged with nature. Do your best to get in touch with nature. Listen to it, hear it, breathe it. Try to remember that we're just one species out of trillions and trillions. We deserve to just, like, you know, be engaged somewhere else outside of humanity once in a while. Make a flower crown. That's easy. Go wildflower searching, which we already talked about. Go strawberry picking. This is a huge one. Strawberry picking and apple picking. There is always, I'm sure no matter where you are, there is some sort of orchard or some sort of field of flowers where you can pick flowers, pick strawberries, pick something, and just collect them for free. I'm pretty sure you really just got to Google and see if there are places in your neighborhood or nearby that you're willing to drive to. Have a bonfire. Always, always have a bonfire. Decorate with flower rings. See, this is the cutest thing too. You can make little rings of flowers, like little tiny wreaths with little strings, little ties. You can use twist ties, or you could use like pipe cleaners or anything like that. And you could just twist them together and decorate with them. And it welcomes that energy into your house, that really warm, welcoming energy that Litha offers and protects us with and reminds us that, you know, we are in bloom. This is our fruition. We have finally planted the seeds. We've planted the seeds, and finally, for so long, we're starting to reap the benefits. And that's what this is all about. Even if we are having shitty times in our lives, we've got to try and think of the wins, because that's what Litha is all about. And also, it's about rebirth, making new plans, doing everything right so that the rest of this time does not go wasted. It's amazing. Make DIY soaps with herbs. I've always wanted to do this. I went on Amazon and it's really not that expensive. So that's just one tip. That's a really great way to get in touch with nature, because then you're literally showering with nature all the fucking time, which is beautiful. Make your own coffee scrub, or make your own lavender scrub or oatmeal scrub. All these different types of scrubs you can make. Oh yeah, and salt scrubs. Making these different scrubs is also really nice, because it exfoliates you and they're natural. So making them by hand is so much better than getting them from the store, because then you don't get all those parabens. And again, you're just way more in touch with nature. During Litha, a lot of people are glowing when they're taking care of themselves. And that's where we're trying to be, guys. We're just trying to take care of ourselves so much that our mental stress starts to fade away, that our skin starts glowing, and that our friendships become stronger, and that our connection to nature becomes stronger. So last but not least, just make DIY projects concerning flowers, the universe, the moon, the sun, the earth. Do anything you can to get yourself in touch with Litha, in touch with Midsummer, and celebrate this year, guys. It has been a long, long year already, and it's only been 6 months. I am so thankful for all of you guys for listening and taking the time to share all of my ideas and to, like, spread around the fact that I am doing tarot cards and Norse cards. I really appreciate that, too. I'm also going to come out with a short selection of vegan keto cookbooks that are totally focused on the witch perspective and also, you know, not gaining a lot of weight. So you can look out for that. There's a lot of things I'm trying to work on during the summer, and I will keep you guys updated. So thank you, everyone. I'm so sorry that all the content has not been as gory or as disgusting as usual, but we're going to get into it. I promise you will get some blood. You will get your craving filled. We will continue. I just wanted to touch on a few things right before we jump right back in. So thank you guys for being patient. Thanks for supporting me. I love you guys. Thank you.